I'm Brian.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and hopefully the inspiration to help you start, manage, and even grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. This is episode 194.
194. We're inching closer and closer to that magic number.
It's just an odometer. It doesn't mean anything.
You're right. It doesn't.
Well,
it's
just
one more episode on our way to 1,000.
I do expect a gift or some cash and prizes.
Balloons.
There's no room in the studio.
I'm going to bring in 200 balloons and stuff them in the little studio.
Will they be red Luft balloons?
Sure.
Like Nina.
And I can even put the song on.
Fill them with helium and we'll have a ball. You can open them and suck on them. They might sound like this.
Oh, yes, right. Well, who's on the guest list for this week, Griff?
This week, we'll talk to eBay Stores team member Chuck Van Pelt about, well, eBay Stores, new features and overall benefits. And we're syncing it up with this week's Now Community Monthly Chat, which will happen tomorrow, today being Tuesday, for those of you who are listening to the broadcast on the day it dropped. You'll be able to go over to the eBay community and talk to Chuck in the monthly chat, ask questions about eBay Stores, and he's the expert you can ask the questions.
And if you're listening to this after Wednesday, you know, you can still pop into that chat and read it. So yeah. community.ebay.com, and we have a monthly chat with the topic.
And I think that there's a link on that community page that takes you to the monthly chat.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can find it without having to search.
Go under the tab Community Info, and it's underneath that Community Info tab.
And we're going to do this every month. We're actually going to sync up with whoever's the guest for the monthly chat and have them on the podcast for that week.
That's a good idea.
I think so. And besides that, Brian, you and I are going to discuss how to utilize something I had no idea that existed until I stumbled upon it. And I did a lot of research with Nate. We're going to talk about something called freight shipping rate tables. And boy, are they cool. And of course, we got a few questions. But first, what's in the news this week?
Well, no new eBay news this week to report.
Oh, great.
So I think we can go right to...
We're going to go to Chuck first. It's time to talk about eBay Stores. Over the years, many selling tools and features have been introduced and updated to keep pace with the ever-changing demands of selling on eBay. And one of the most, if not the most popular selling tools ever would be eBay Stores. And recently, the eBay Stores platform went through an extensive upgrade. And joining us to talk about what's new with that upgrade and to talk in general about the what and the why of having an eBay store is Chuck Van Pelt. Welcome, Chuck.
Thanks, Griff. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about who you are.
I've been at eBay for about 6 years. What I do now is I'm on the stores team. I meet with customers to learn how they use the stores platform. I talk to seller groups to share updates to stores and generally help us get our new features to market.
You take a lot of questions from customers. I know I do too. And one of the more common ones I hear is, why should I have an eBay store?
I think everyone focuses on fees. That's obviously something that's important to sellers and to me too, as a seller on eBay. There is a discount for your listing fees and final value fees based on the level of subscription you have. But for me, the more valuable things are the ability to provide you as a seller with an identity on eBay. You can tell your story a little bit, put some graphics and information about your business and even video on the site that tells a little bit about who you are. You can present your inventory in a way that you want, and all of this together drives higher conversion rates. There's a discount every quarter that you get on eBay shipping supplies. So these are eBay branded supplies. They kind of help you unify your business on the eBay platform. And depending on the level of subscription that you get a different amount of discount each quarter.
Where do I purchase these supplies?
Right on eBay. Actually, there's an eBay store that we use to sell the eBay shipping supplies. It's pretty easy to find if you Google eBay shipping supplies, then that should come right to the top.
You also mentioned driving traffic by having an eBay store, driving traffic to your listings. How does that work?
There are a few ways that you can help with that. Just in general, we see like statistically 10 to 15% higher conversion and higher repeat purchases and more traffic coming to eBay stores as opposed to just listings. There are a few tools that we can use to do that. There are promotions, incentives to make a sale, like sale events, coupons, shipping discounts. These are some features that come as part of your store. There are email newsletters, which is something we've really expanded on the stores platform. Basically, tools to communicate with buyers and followers. And social sharing tools, which are tools that allow you to leverage your social network. And the difference is You could share a listing, right? Of course. But when you share your storefront, you're giving sort of a landing platform with your branding where you control the inventory, you control the experience, so that when somebody comes in off the social platform, they're getting that full kind of picture about your business.
So Chuck, one of the things I noticed as a store owner is that the manage your store page, there are many new features on there that weren't there before. For example, I can feature items that I just listed. I can feature items that I really want to highlight. And if I'm listing something on social media, better for me to promote more items than just the single item.
Absolutely. And inventory strip is exactly what we call those. There are tools that we've rolled out on the page to help a seller control the experience, show the products that they want to promote. Starting at the top of the page, you can create a billboard that kind of graphically shows what your business is about. You have a logo, and then these inventory strips fall into place. And the feedback we got from sellers was that there's a lot to configure. So we've been working to make it easier for you to put inventory strips on the page to show your inventory without having to curate every single item. We recently released automated strips. So I can create an automated strip that will grab my most recently listed items and show them on the page.
Then I don't have to do the work of actually going in and changing them out all the time.
Exactly. Well, you know, as a seller, I've seen the power of the inventory strips. They'll each hold 6 listings. And when I put listings in that inventory strip, they do sell faster. That was requiring me to curate those, right? I monitor when they drop off and I add new items in. But the automation has really been a game changer for me. It just allows me to keep some inventory up there and creates the appearance of always being up to date.
Let's talk a little bit about the customizable billboard and logo. What resources does eBay have to help me learn how to do this so I can create my own billboard, my own logos, my own store category images?
That is a challenge, right? I mean, you could go a graphic design route and spend some time dialing in your logo and creating brand. But we do have a tool on the site. It's a company that we're working with called VistaCreate. And it links right from the editing link on those elements on the page. And it gives you a really easy user experience for making your own images. It presets them to the correct size. It gives you all kinds of graphics and fonts and other things and lets you drag them around and create your own look. And then you just export it and it just sticks it right into the page, fully integrated with the site.
Can I go someplace to learn more about this on eBay?
The best place you can go for stores learning resources is go to your seller hub and click on the stores tab at the top. And on the left side, we have a link called learning resources. And in there, you'll find currently a video and then some tutorials on how to use various aspects of stores. And as we produce more videos, which we're doing now, that's where they will be hosted.
And we'll put a link in the transcript for this episode, 194. That will take you directly to those learning resources. And you can view the videos, and I think you'll learn a lot, including how to make your own billboard.
Fantastic. Thank you for posting that.
So, Chuck, I get a question a lot from new sellers and even experienced sellers who aren't necessarily store sellers yet and are considering it, but they look at the choices and they're not sure which store level is going to work for them. Is there a place they can go on eBay to actually see a comparison of different stores, for example, and what they get and the major differentiation points between each tier from starter up to enterprise?
The easiest way to get to our list of subscription levels is just Google eBay subscriptions. And I'm sure Griff will provide the link for that. The store levels, we have a starter store for the people who just want to dip their toe in and try it out. It's very reasonably priced. And then it goes to the basic store, premium, anchor, and enterprise. The level you select is really going to be contingent upon the number of listings that you do every month and in what categories you list. Now, obviously, there are fee differences in each one, so that would be a financial calculation you could do for yourself. And then there are other benefits in terms of the marketing and branding capabilities that you have in each store level, and you could look at those as well and make a decision. I would recommend two things. If you go to that page I described, and it will detail out all of the store levels. And then if there is a seller group or a seller meetup near you, and you can do some research on this and find other eBay sellers who are doing this, they're a fantastic resource for what works for them. And they've all done all the calculations and numbers, and they all have their opinions. And I found those to be very valuable about at what level a store becomes when you need to graduate to the next level of store.
Exactly. There's actually real benefits to having an eBay store. A lot of it will be contingent upon you as a store subscriber to take advantage of those features and benefits. And if you have any questions, you can always send them to podcast@ebay.com, or you can call them in to 888-723-4630. We'd love to hear from you. Well, Chuck, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and talking to us about eBay stores. I know that this is all part of a new format for the what has been historically the weekly chat with eBay staff is turning to a monthly format. And I believe you're the first guest that we're going to have on the community chat board.
That's right. I'm kicking off the new format next week on June 8th.
Which is a Wednesday. So it'll be the day after you hear this podcast, if you're downloading it on the day of launch. So we urge you to go by the eBay community, which is community.ebay.com. And there are links on that page for the community chat. Again, we'll put the link directly to it in the transcript for this episode, and you can speak in real time with Chuck and ask questions about eBay stores that you might have, and hopefully it'll help you consider which store you want to get. I urge you to consider it. It's important if you're a full-time seller on eBay. Chuck, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure, Griff.
Chuck Van Pelt is on the eBay stores team. He works closely with that team and with eBay customers to help make the eBay store feature and platform a better place for you to conduct business.
Brian.
Griff.
Brian, I can't wait. I can't wait, Brian. I have something to tell you.
Well, this is like excited Griff time.
I'm so excited. You know, you get tired sometimes being the font of all wisdom about eBay, because that's what everyone expects.
Well, you wrote the Bible on eBay.
I did. I didn't even get a halo. But yes.
Wings?
Yeah. But that was in the old days. That was when eBay was actually really difficult, but in a whole different way. I'm constantly discovering things about eBay even today that I didn't know. And this last week, I discovered something that I was I was so excited. I nearly fainted. That's how excited I was. And I know I'm prone to hyperbole and exaggeration, but it was so exciting and I wanted to talk about it on the podcast.
Well, it makes sense. We should talk about it because now I'm really interested to understand what almost made you faint.
Well, did you know that it's actually a lot easier than everyone thinks to list items using freight?
This I will be interested to hear.
You didn't know this, did you?
No, and I've never shipped anything freight. I bought something and had to use freight, but that was like 15, 16 years ago. And after the experience that long ago, I don't do freight.
Yeah, well, you may rethink that I don't do freight thing, because I was following a path through, who knows, it's so complicated on eBay, Seller Center or some page, and I clicked a link and I clicked another link and I went here and I went hither and hither. And finally, I showed up on this page and it said freight rate tables. And I thought, what?
We have freight rate tables?
We have freight rate tables.
Really?
So I stopped what I was doing, and I immediately emailed Nate and said, Nate, I just discovered this. What is this? He said, oh, yeah, they're freight rate tables.
When did we put out freight rate tables?
Sometime in the end of last year.
Oh.
Maybe there's a listener who's saying, oh, Griff, you're so stupid. And we knew about this. But I didn't.
I did not. When did we announce it?
It was never announced.
Ah.
And I don't know why.
Well, how are we supposed to know if they don't announce it?
I kind of asked Nate, what's going on? Why is this kind of a secret? He said, well, we plan to even make it easier next year. We're working on some stuff. And I said, yeah, but this looks great. I think I want to talk about it. And he said, well, it's up to you. Okay, I'm going to talk about it.
Cool. Well, then now I'm going to learn something this week.
Oh, are you ever? And hopefully the people who are listening are going to learn something too.
Freight rate tables. Just the fact that there's a rate table already makes me think, okay, it's simpler than what I think I have to do.
Well, my first reaction was, what the hell is this? And then my second reaction was, I remember when we created rate tables a few years back, but they were global.
Right.
If you opted into rate tables for shipping anything, you had no other option for your other listings, like, you know, using calculated USPS,
right,
or UPS. So I double checked with Nate. He said, no, that's not the case anymore.
And I thought those rate tables were for like some of our larger sellers.
And they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. With maybe various locations across the country. Well, no, that's not what this is. This is for mom and pop.
Anyone who needs to use freight. Is it specific to freight?
This table is specific to freight.
Oh, great.
So I did a lot of research, very excitedly, drank a lot of coffee, and then I sat down and figured out in a few steps how this works. And I want to share it with you.
Cool.
And I'm going to put screenshots for the things I'm talking about, both in the transcript and on our Discuss This podcast.
Oh, that'll be helpful to any of the listeners if they need to go in and see stuff.
Yeah. So my first bit of advice, step one, is to read up on freight shipping. And you can do this at Seller Center because some of the information that I'm about to talk about is reiterated there. Go to Seller Center, then click the shipping tab, and then look for, in that drop-down menu, freight shipping. Read that entire page and don't skip it because it's going to be helpful for the next steps. So the next step is to find a freight shipper in your area. And you can use any carrier of your choosing, but, and here's the caveat, in order to obtain coverage against item not received claims filed through eBay Money Back Guarantee, you as a seller will need to use, if it's possible, one of the many shipping carriers that do freight that are already integrated into eBay. And you can find that list of carriers at the following destination. Go to Help and Contact, type Setting Up Your Shipping Options into the search bar, then select that option when it shows up, and then click on the link that says Integrated Carriers and then Domestic Freight Carriers. And I will also put the link, it's a bit.ly link now because it's, you know, those Help and Contact links are so long. I'll put this link in the transcript so you can find it quickly. If you can find a carrier on that list, and there is a lot of them, and as a location or a hub in your area, and you, the next step is to work with them to obtain a list of fees or a schedule of fees based on weight, dimensions, and maybe even shipping destinations. Some carriers will provide you different rates for your item or items based on not only the weight and dimension, but also the region it's going to go to. And some will even break it down by states. And that's great because either of those options are going to work for your rate tables. You also have to determine if your potential carrier will pick up and pack or crate your large freight items as part of their service agreement. Unless you're set up for doing this, don't even consider it.
Let them do it.
You definitely want the freight company to come and do all that work. Unless you're set up for packing and crating, don't attempt it. Let them do it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Now, once you have all this fee information from your carrier of choice, and hopefully that carrier is on that long list of integrated freight carriers, you're ready for step three. And step three is you navigate to the freight shipping rate tool. I'm so excited.
I know. Any kind of shipping rate table like that is helpful to sellers.
And I found a quick URL. www.ebay.com/ship/RT.
As in rate table.
Exactly. If only all of our URLs are that short. The other way you can get there is to go to My eBay Account, Shipping Preferences, and then select Edit for the option for shipping rate tables. Both will take you to this page. And if you've never seen it before, I swear you'll faint.
Now I want to go to it.
Yeah. Because that brings you to step four. Once you've got there, now you can start creating a freight rate table. First step is you'll see there's a bunch of text boxes and you want to skip the rate table select option because unless you've created a rate table before.
Oh, this is for our previous rate tables.
Yeah, and there's nothing to select if you haven't created a rate table before. Nate says you can create up to 10 of these. The first time you go to create it, and this was confusing to me and I'm going to make a suggestion it be changed, that if you haven't created a table, there's nothing to select. So when you click select, there's nothing there. So just bypass that. Once you've finished creating this rate table and you've given it a name, it'll show up in that list. The next thing you do is you go to package type and you select freight shipping item.
Okay.
And I think there's another option there and I didn't write it down. But that's the option you want, freight shipping item. And then you select one of the three options for set shipping rates by. And those options are item, weight, and one I didn't quite understand it for, surcharge.
Yeah.
So, and which option you choose will depend on the information you obtained from your freight carrier and what you're shipping. Sometimes freight carriers will do item, they'll do their prices based on the item, like, hey, all the sofas are this much.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's weight. You can also create multiple freight rate tables to cover items that'll ship by these different criteria, item, weight, item.
So the options of item, weight, or surcharge are being, that's your decision on what you choose there is driven by which carrier you're using.
Yeah, and what the information the carrier gave you. So okay. For a lot of people, if it's a standard piece of furniture, they're going to say, you know, we don't do weight. We just say
an eight-foot sofa
is going to be this much. Yeah. Then you don't have to worry about weight. Otherwise, if it is something that you need to weigh, part of the service agreement is you get them to come out and weigh it. So that's important. And then while you're still on that form, you can, at this point, I suggest give your table, your new rate table, a name that will help define it so you can select it as an option later when you create a shipping policy, because that's going to be an important step. It's not just the rate table. Later on, you're going to assign it to a new shipping policy. Make sense?
It does.
And now you'll see below there, there's an option for adding a region or a state, and you can indicate a cost for each one. So for example, if your carrier has indicated they charge a different rate by region, you will select add a region and then check one of the options. In the column next to the region you select, you enter the price, and that should be the price that they've given you for shipping that item to a region.
So if you're in, like we are, we're in California.
Yeah.
And so it's, again, based on what the carrier's telling you. Like if they ship by region,
yeah,
and if they charge by region,
right,
you're going to enter in
west. Yes. So there's a standardized list of regions, and they are Northwest, West, Midwest, South, and Northeast.
Okay.
Those are the five regions. And there is an option on the ship rating table for other. And the other is if they have some other, maybe it's Hawaii,
Canada,
or Alaska.
Okay.
Well, you select each one. This wasn't intuitive to me at first. So you don't select all of the regions at once. You select one region, like West, and then put in a price. Then you add again, and you can select for South, and you can select for Midwest and Northeast. And
all of those could go into one table. Those are all
part of this table.
It's not separate. It's not a right. new table. It's all in the same.
And then if you're thinking ahead, obviously eBay then knows this by region and knows which region the buyer is located and shows them that price.
Right.
And I tested it and it works.
Cool.
Yeah. You can also do this by state. So say your carrier gives you a list of 50 states with each one with a different price. You can also, instead of using region, you can say, I want to add a state, add up to 50 states, and you can indicate a price for each of those states.
And this is actually something interesting. If I'm thinking about that, like you might have a carrier who does, like if you ship freight frequently,
yeah,
you might have three or four more of these tables.
You might.
And it might be based on the carrier. Is then you choose which carrier you want depending on the item that you're shipping.
Right, but you don't choose the carrier for your rate table. That's done outside
right.
of the rate table.
Right.
What you're going to get is a tracking number from them that you can enter and eBay supports. That'll give you tracking and the buyer tracking information.
Oh, so that's another nice thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to work with different carriers, you just create different rate tables for each carrier. So once you've completed the regions and or states, you just save that rate table, you've given it a name, and now it exists. Now you have created your first rate table. Oh,
which you just did this week for the first time.
I did. I created a test one because I wanted to see if this worked. I'm so excited. I can't stand it. Because this is, for me personally, this is a solution for selling a lot of stuff that I didn't want to have to sell locally or just give away.
Right.
So once you've done this, you're not quite finished, because for every rate table, you want to create a matching business policy, because that business shipping policy is how you'll add it to the listings of your choice. And that's easy. We've gone through this before on the show, so I'll put a link to a past episode where we talked about creating a business policy. You just go to Seller Hub and then Listings, and on the left nav, there's a link for business policies, and you'll select create a new shipping policy. Now, this part was a little quirky. And I talked to Nate about it this morning, in fact, to make sure what I was seeing and it was okay. You select for U.S. shipping, flat, same cost to all buyers. I know that doesn't make any sense, but it's the one you select. And then you, from the services, you go all the way to the bottom of the list and select flat rate freight. Now, here's where it gets weird. Because on the right, you have to indicate a cost. And this didn't make any sense to me because I'm going to attach it to a rate table. Nate says, yeah, it's a little wonky, but it works. My guess turned out to be correct, that the number you can enter here is the cheapest rate for shipping, like your own region or state, right? So for me, in my test, I said it was $100. So I put $100 for cost. You can set your handling time. I set it for this test for 3 business days. You want to get a better idea from your carrier how long it takes for them to come out and get the item created and shipped, because tracking starts once they pick up the item. And then, of course, you can also choose to sell internationally, but I unchecked that box. I'm not shipping freight internationally. At the very bottom, and this will only show up if you've selected flat rate freight for your service and you've selected U.S. shipping flat, same cost to all buyers, it says shipping rate tables, apply domestic shipping rate table, check the box, and then click view. If you have more than one table, you then select which table you're going to apply. I only have one, so when I clicked view, it was the only one that was going to apply. And then I saved that policy, and I created a listing for a beautiful pier mirror, which I actually have, and I put an estimate for the weight, and I had my rate table ready to go, and I attached this policy to that listing, and I listed it, and then I went in as a preview when it was scheduled, because I didn't make it live. And I put in different zip codes. And every time I put a zip code for a destination, the price changed by region. And it was displayed to the buyer as a price. And it is added to the invoice. And the buyer is charged that amount when they check out.
How did you estimate the weight? You don't have like the crating material and all of that kind of stuff.
I didn't. I guessed. I just, for the sense of test.
Just to test through it. Got it. But if you had called like a freight, one of those freight carriers and said, hey, I'm going to use your service.
Yeah.
They would have said, what are you selling? You say a mirror and it's however big. And
my experience with freight carriers in the past, because I've had items shipped before, is, and I've been told this by other sellers, that an experienced freight company can look at an item and tell you how much it weighs. Yeah, they just do it.
Because they do it for a living.
And because they'll stand by that, they'll say, oh, that mirror, that weighs about 75 pounds. They're going to stand by it. You just put 75 pounds in for the weight.
Right.
And then you don't have to worry about it.
That makes sense.
They know what the weight's going to be. And that's part of the service agreement with a good carrier, and those integrated ones are trusted by eBay, I suppose, is that they're going to give you a quote for it and they're going to tell you the weight, because you're going to want to enter it into this. Unless they're doing it by item, then you don't even have to worry.
I have a rocking chair on the list now. I do.
It's my job here is almost done.
It's been sitting in my garage for like 3 years.
Yeah. And again, I want to say that there is that one quirk when you're setting up the shipping policy. You have to indicate a cost, even though it's not the cost that's going to be displayed to the buyer. So what I did is I put in $100, but happens to be shipping within my area based on the rate table. So I, for the West region.
Right.
I didn't ask Nate if you could just put any old figure in there, but you got to put something apparently. But it is not the figure that you
used. And then it just gets overridden by wherever they're located, recalculated.
Right. And I said, Nate, when we enhance this, can we make that go away and just put attach rate table here as an option instead of cost?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm good at design. So, Brian, can you understand why I was so excited?
I can hear it in your voice. You can. It's like when you discover something new on eBay, it's like, and it's something that's actually of value.
Value, exactly.
Then it's exciting and you hear it.
And this is genuine. I can act and pretend, you know, I can be having a bad day and it sounds like a good one. But I was genuinely excited when I found this and thought,
right,
this is an incredibly valuable tool.
It would be wonderful if some of our listeners, if they also have freight stories to give us information, because I'm sure it can be helpful to other listeners.
Yeah. Well, who knows who might call? They might call just right now.
Yes. Well, that was acting now, that last sentence.
Sorry, you gave it away. And we'll find out what we're talking about in a minute. Well, that's it. That's the segment on the freight rate tables. Again,
I think that's really good information. And I think the title of this episode should be
Griff Loses It Over Freight Rate.
Freight Rate.
Anyway, I'll put up all those screenshots in the transcript, and we'll also put them on the Discuss This podcast, the link to which you can find on the community page under the podcast link. And I'll be there to answer any questions you might have about freight rate tables. And I hope you're as excited as I am.
You got questions?
We got answers. And Brian, quite coincidentally, given the freight rate table conversation we just had, we actually have a live caller for the Q&A.
It's great to have live callers.
It is. And our first live caller is an old friend of the eBay radio show and probably well known to many in the selling community. Please welcome Joe DeMarco, also known as Hubcap Joe. Welcome, Joe.
Welcome, Joe.
Well, hello there, Griffin Brian. I'd like to thank you for having me on your podcast.
It's a flashback to old days, that's for sure.
Did Joe used to call in on the radio?
Oh, all the time. He was a popular call-in.
I could imagine.
Yeah. You have a freight story to tell us.
Yes, I do, Griff. And I think your listeners are going to find this quite interesting. So may I tell you my actual freight story?
It would
be
great.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
Definitely. I assume this has to do with freight shipping hubcaps.
Duh. Yes. Yes. The way this came about was, as you probably know, I do a lot of dealer buyouts. When dealers go out of business, they usually offer to sell me their entire inventory for a certain amount of money. And during my 23-year eBay career, I must have done about 6 or 7 of these buyouts, but all of them were here in the New York City area. I never really had to go any further than that. And I always rented one of those 15-foot Ryder trucks to go pick everything up. But this time was very different. I became aware that there was a person out in California that was liquidating approximately 17,000 hubcaps.
Whoa.
Whoa, that's a lot of hubcaps. That's a lot of time spent on the road picking them up.
Yes.
Well, he didn't actually pick these up from the road. These are from classic cars from the 40s up to, let's say, 1980. And when he showed me the pictures, all I could think of was eBay Motors.
Yes.
I knew that this was going to be huge if I could swing it. He had a certain price he was looking for, and it was 5 figures, of course, because there was a lot of stuff. I contacted the guy. I told him who I was, and I'm out here on the East Coast in New Jersey, and I asked him if he could do better on the price. So we finagled a little bit, and he gave me a price that I thought was definitely acceptable. And then the question of shipping the items from California to New Jersey came in.
17,000 hubcaps is a lot to ship.
I can picture that.
Now, by good luck, all the items were already palletized. He had 26 pallets loaded, and each pallet was 9 feet tall. Everything's ready to go. I know they're going to be heavy, really heavy. I asked the seller if he had any experience with freight shipments. And he told me that he would nose around on his own. And he got back to me a couple of days later and told me that the cheapest price he could get with an over-the-road trucker. Anyway, the price he came back to me with was approximately $15,000.
Whoa.
And that's not even the bad news. The bad news was the 53-foot trailers not come with a lift gate. And I don't have a loading dock at my store. It would have required me renting a forklift and offloading that trailer myself.
Do you know how to use a forklift, Joe?
My brother does. I never used one, but I asked him, and he said he was willing to do it. But I'm thinking to myself, there's no reason I should be spending $15,000 and having to work that hard. In a rare moment of inspiration, I remembered that I've used something called a freight broker in the past. Do you guys know what that is?
I do not.
Kind of. A little bit, yeah.
Maybe explain it, because I have no clue.
Freight broker is a guy whose job is to search out prices for his clients and try and get them the cheapest rate there is. It just so happens about 7 years ago, I had used a freight broker for a much smaller load. And I remembered my freight broker. His name is Sean Donahoe, and he works at globaltrans.com. I said, let me email him and see if he can help me out. And he got right back to me, and I was surprised that he actually remembered my load of hubcaps from 7 years ago.
It may have been his only load of hubcaps.
I would think not too many people ship pallets of hubcaps. I gave him the information, and the first question he had for me is he needed the exact weights of each pallet.
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah. This is very important because these trucking companies charge by weight. I asked the seller to provide the weights, which he did, and unbeknownst to me, he didn't actually weigh them. He guessed.
Something a seller should never do.
Yes.
I know. This was going to come back to bite me in the butt somewhere down the road. Based on the weight that he provided and the dimensions of the pallet, I was quoted a certain price with a bit of a codicil. It was deemed that my load was too big to put in any one truck, because as I explained, those over-the-road guys don't have the hydraulic gate on the back.
Mm-hmm.
What he actually proposed was they would break my 26 pallets down into 4 separate loads, and 4 different independent truckers would pick them up in California. Then, instead of driving cross-country, they would drive them to the rail yards in California, and they'd load them on rail cars. And they would ship them up here to Port Newark, New Jersey, at which time the loads would be doled out to 4 other independent truckers who would deliver the loads to me on different days. And those trucks are the smaller trucks. They're not those big 18-wheelers. They're the smaller ones you probably see around that all have the lift gates.
Well, Joe, I don't know about you, but I can see profit margins shrinking with every sentence you say.
Well, yes. I was concerned about that, but I actually did everything on paper and figured out how much it was going to cost. And even with the shipping, and he did save me money on that $15,000 original price from the other company, I knew I was still going to make money, but I knew it was going to be a lot of work. So I provided the weights, and they gave me a quote. And this all started about 2.5 months ago. They started picking up the loads, one load at a time, and then maybe 2 or 3 days down the road, the second truck would pick up load number two, put them on the rail cars, send them up here to Newark, New Jersey. And then what was supposed to happen was the trucking companies would call me on a certain day, one day ahead of time, and say, you need to be available tomorrow. And they'd give me a 6-hour window with which to expect a delivery. The next day, the trucker was supposed to call me an hour ahead to make sure I was ready to receive the load. The first two loads went off fairly seamlessly, except for the fact that I didn't realize that my garage door wasn't high enough to accommodate 9-foot pallets.
Oh, this is getting good.
Caught me off guard. And let me tell you, these over-the-road truckers are in a rush.
Oh, yeah. Time is money.
Yeah. They want to drop my load, and they want to get onto the next load.
Yeah.
I didn't have, at the time, because I didn't expect I needed a chainsaw. All I had was a handsaw, old handsaw, and I was sawing away to beat the band.
You were sawing the door?
No, I was sawing the tops of the pallets.
The tops of the pallets, right.
He built them up with wooden beams.
Yeah.
So I had to cut each one of them down to under 8 feet tall to get them in the garage. Every time I cut one, the driver would say, that's the last one. That's the last one. I'm going. And I kept conning him to stay a little bit later and help me with the, I needed the pallet jack, which he had on his truck.
Oh, jeez.
To bring the pallets from the truck into the garage. After the first load, I knew better. I had a chainsaw waiting for the next driver and subsequent drivers. The only surprise was the very last load. They didn't call me ahead of time. It just so happens I was in the supermarket shopping, and I get a phone call. And it's a driver, and he says, I have your 6 pallets. I said, great. Let me know what time you're coming, and I'll be there. He said, I'm there now.
Drop everything and get over here.
I rushed up to the checkout line. I checked out what I had and drove back as fast as I can to receive the load. But that last driver was really helpful because, unfortunately, the seller didn't stack one of the pallets correctly, and the whole thing freaking tipped over.
Oh, Jesus.
And he got it out.
They worked hard,
and they helped me, and it all worked out quite well.
Now, have you listed any of these yet?
Oh, yes. I started listing them the day the first pallet was dropped. And I took a bit of a chance, I'll admit that. But I kind of could see that there was some good stuff in there. And I was so happy to see the holy grail of hubcaps represented in the pallet.
Okay,
I'm really interested.
Yeah, I got to hear this. What's the holy grail?
Oh, my God. I was so excited when I saw them. Do you want to take a guess? What the holy grail of hubcaps?
All right.
Okay, I'm going to think about this.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a guess off the top of my head and say a 1959 Cadillac.
I'm going to go with a 67 Camaro.
Neither one of you got it right.
Oh,
I would have given Griff Oshel credit. It was a 57 Caddy is one of the holy grail hubcaps.
Oh, 57, okay, yeah.
But I didn't come across that one yet. What I did come across was 1966. Ford Bronco hubcaps.
And those are the holy grail?
That's one of the two. Huh. Oh, I was so excited.
Who knew?
I've already sold them on eBay. They've already sold.
For a huge profit.
Yes.
Of course. Good.
There was 6 of them in the group. One was for the front because, Brian, you probably know this, on the Ford Bronco is four-wheel drive, so the front has to have the opening for the hub.
How is Brian supposed to know this?
Because he's a car nut.
He's not that big of a car nut.
I know some stuff about cars.
You're a Jaguar. See, oh, there it is.
I just brought it up and showed him the opening.
Oh, that's cool. You could make lamps out of those.
I think the Bronco owners would rather have them on their car.
Did you sell those yet?
Yes. There was 6 of them. There was 1 front and there was 5 rear. So I thought about it, and I decided I would sell them all as a family, because I know that the person who would buy them is going to be a Bronco enthusiast.
Of course.
You know how these people are.
Oh, do I? Yes.
Griff, this is only the second time in my life that I've had these 1966 Bronco hubcaps. The first time, last year, I bought them at a swap meet. A guy had four of them. I put them on eBay, and they lasted 45 minutes.
Wow. I'm in the wrong business.
The first person snapped them up for $600.
For a pair of hubcaps?
For a set of four.
They must have been in good condition then.
Seeing as how they went for $600 instantly, I know I can get a little bit more than that.
Of course.
What I did was I listed them with either the buy it now, immediate payment required, or best offer. And it took 3 full days. But a buyer sent me a best offer for the 6 of them that I thought was reasonable. I accepted it. He paid. And he thanked me. And he told me that he owns 22 1966 Broncos.
One was not enough.
So if you had any advice to give sellers about using freight, what would you say to a seller who's, or a buyer even, who's thinking about purchasing freight? Any guidance?
Oh, yes, definitely. Don't be scared and don't be afraid. You have to go through a little bit of effort to make a good score like this. You probably should enlist the services of a freight broker. Can I give Sean's email out?
I don't know. Is Sean okay with that?
If you email us back that Sean's okay with it.
Yeah, I asked him.
Okay.
His email is sdonahoe@globaltrans.com, and he will give you a quote. And let me tell you something. He saved me a lot of money and a lot of effort because I didn't have to rent the forklift to offload the 53-foot trailer.
Yeah, all you needed was to rev up the old chainsaw.
But don't be afraid, guys, because there are so many big deals out there. And I talked to so many other hubcap dealers about this, and they all looked at me and shook their head in disbelief. And they said, Joe, I would never have undertaken that purchase. You have to have cast iron you-know-what.
Clangers.
Yeah, clangers, exactly.
Joe, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us. And we want to keep updated about how the sales of these hubcaps go. I'd love to know a final, I made X amount of dollars on that load. That would be fantastic.
It'll take some time before I have that figure.
Well, we could check in on a regular basis. How's that?
That works.
Well, Joe, thanks so much. We've been talking with Joe DeMarco, known on eBay and around the world as Hubcap Joe. Guess what he sells? And that was a very fascinating story.
It was.
All right. Well, Brian, what's our first email for this week?
Well, Griff, our first email comes from Jennifer, who writes, I heard this repeated on the podcast a few weeks ago. You can send me a mug if you want to. Either way, I feel famous now.
Well, you're famous and you're going to get a mug.
Yes, definitely, Jennifer. Anyway, currently listening to this week's podcast and hearing the talk about printers and wanted to show you guys my setup. Brian is right. Changing the labels all the time is a pita. And I'll let everyone know. Everyone knows what that means.
Does it mean pain in the ass? That's what I thought.
Okay. That's what it means.
We're all adults here.
Okay. So I have 3 Rolos with different labels in them.
And she sent a picture. I'll put it in the transcript.
We definitely should include that in the transcript. The bottom white Rolo is the new wireless. I use the other 2 for fun custom stickers such as thank you and QR codes. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Also have a roll of orange stickers on the way, so once I run out of my pre-printed fragile Do Not Bend stickers, I will just print my own. Very easy to make your own custom stickers using Canva or Rolo's program.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks, guys, for the great podcast. I love listening to it when I'm shipping or taking photos. Well, thanks, Jennifer. That's some great advice.
And for those of you who aren't yet visual, haven't seen the transcript, look at that setup.
It's incredible.
She's got on a metal stand that seems like it's built exactly for this.
It like tiers.
Yeah, it's tiered with 3 different Rolo printers. Each one has a different size label in it. That is so cool. I want this set up in my house. Well, Jennifer, you are an inspiration, and I'm sure Rolo loves it that you bought 3 printers. So
yes. I hope she got them on eBay.
Well, let's just assume she did. But if she didn't, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
What matters is she's using them. Our next email to podcast@ebay.com is from eBay seller Anila, who wrote, Hi, I was watching the podcast. I think she meant listening, but some people listen with their, you know, watch with their ears.
Yes.
Episode 183, she says, and I tried to do it as it was explained in the segment for printing shipping labels for each one, one at a time, after that generating a scan form, but it didn't work. Could you explain the steps better to me? I know what she's talking about. And that's the hack that we found for generating, for USPS, generating a scan report for just printing out single labels at a time. So don't feel bad, Anil. Actually, Brian, I received a few other emails from other sellers who were confused by the process. And I have to say, it's not intuitive.
No.
It's not. It's not like there's a arrow in big text that says, do this. So I'm going to go through it again. But the key to keep in mind is when you're going to use this feature, and there's sellers who want to use it because they want to print a label, and then they wait, and they make a sale, and they print a label, and it's all USPS, for example. And normally, if you just go through the single label flow, you're not going to be able to generate a scan report. The key is to make sure you're always in the bulk label flow, not the single label flow. Now, that flow can be accessed at any point during the single label process just by clicking the link on the top of the page that says print labels in bulk. It's not hard to find. It's right there in the right-hand corner of the single label page up in the top in somewhat smallish type. But once you click it, that'll move your single label into the bulk label flow. And now you're going to be able to print it as a single label, but you'll also be able to put it in the queue for generating a scan form for that day. Now, after checking the weight and dimensions and service, Anil, make sure they're all correct. Click Review Purchase, complete the process of purchasing the label, then print it out from the print option. That label will now be added to, in the back, where you can't see it, to a scan form queue to which you can continue adding single or even multiple labels throughout the business day. When you're ready to generate the scan form for all those labels, you locate the page for creating, or as it's said on the page, generating the scan form by two different methods, by the way. The first way is on the page for the last label you purchased for the day, click the scan form link, and you'll see it immediately. Or, and this way is a little harder to find, on the second way to get there, if you're no longer on that page, just go to Seller Hub, Orders, and on the left-hand side, look for shipping labels. And on that page, look for the top of your list of purchased shipping labels for a box with a text link that says, and it's in small print, have more orders awaiting shipment? Use the bulk shipping tool. And if you click that, on the right-hand top corner of the next page, you'll find a link that says Scan Forms. Click it, and any ungenerated scan forms will appear there as a module ready to generate and print. Just click it and follow the instructions. That's it.
So key thing there, though, is start off with the bulk listing.
Yeah. When you go to print your single label, you're immediately in the single label flow. On the top of that page, click bulk labels so that you take that single label and you're going to put it into the bulk label flow, which is different. Bulk shipping labels is different from single labels.
And well, I hope that answers Anil's question.
If it doesn't, just let us know. And if I think you sent your address, so we'll send you a mug too.
Definitely. Well, our last question this week is from eBay seller Pamela, who sent the following to podcast@ebay.com. Hello, I'm a longtime seller on eBay since 1999. Well, thank you for all the business. I've been going back through your podcast catalog, and your episode from February 8th of this year inspired me to work on my business policies.
Yay!
I tackled them all in one day. I think it took me more than a day when I went back to all mine.
Yikes!
I had 9 pages of them and didn't know it. It does make it a lot easier to list now, but I found one feature that I really like. The ability to see the price range for different shipping options is gone. I can scroll through and choose which shipping policy I want to apply, but without the price ranges. I'm having a hard time choosing which would be best for my item. Please help. Pamela in Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Wow. Brian, I'm not sure what Pamela means by seeing different costs, but I suspect she may mean what a previous seller recently asked us about the shipping eBay shipping calculator that apparently used to be in the listing flow and no longer is. So I'm going to suspect that's what it is. Because what she's talking, I've never seen before.
Yeah, because, you know, if she's using something like calculated shipping, unless, you know, we knew where the buyer was, we couldn't present the price.
Yeah. That's the whole point of this, Pamela. If you're selecting, for example, calculated shipping, then there's really no way for us to provide prices because we'd have to know before the buyer actually indicated they were buying, where their location is. That's how the calculation works.
And the size of the item that you're shipping.
Exactly.
And the weight of it and all of that.
Class of service.
Yeah, so she must be referring to the old shipping calculator.
Yeah, I suspect.
And that is no longer available.
Well, not in that page, but it's available right. Still as a separate standalone page.
Yes.
You just go to www.ebay.com/SHP/C calculator. And we'll put the link in the item transcript. You know how I found it so easily.
You typed in shipping calculator eBay.
And Google.
Yeah.
It shows up right at the top. So that's one way to get to it.
And as Griff said, we'll put that link in the episode transcript. But Pamela, here's the thing about shipping. If you're using a calculated shipping option when you're listing a new item and you're not selecting any of the USPS flat rate priority options, you won't see a cost to the buyer because that cost will be dependent on the location of the buyer, as Griff mentioned.
Yeah.
So for example, if I select USPS first class package for a service and I select calculated shipping and I provide accurate package weight and dimensions, a buyer in my area will see one price for shipping while a buyer in another area farther from mine we'll see another price. There's actually no way to know what the displayed price will be without first knowing the location of the buyer.
Pamela, that's why most buyers who charge for shipping don't give this a second thought. As long as you're providing the accurate weight and dimensions during the listing process, eBay does the rest of the work. We provide every buyer, based on their location, which is we know from zip code, an accurate and calculated cost for shipping.
Well, if you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us on 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day or week and leave a comment, and we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Now it's time for your three-point podcast checklist.
First, check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news every day.
Second, want to list heavy or bulky items? Then create a freight rate table as outlined in this week's episode, and you'll be cooking with gas.
And third, wait, you ask, how do I review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
And in our next episode, Brian, I hope you're excited.
I am.
Oh, good. I thought we'd explore how to customize various pages and views in Seller Hub to suit each individual seller's needs, including active view and customizing the shortcuts menu.
Well, that it will be interesting.
Yeah, I found some tricks this week.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Chuck Van Pelt from the eBay Stores team.
And thank you, Joe, for calling in. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.